This morning we'll be in 2 Samuel 13, start with verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for her, for his sister, Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said to him, Why are you, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt you not tell me? And Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said to him, Lay thee down on the bed and make thyself sick, and when your father comes to see you, say to him, I pray you, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight that I may have it, see it, and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said to the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him. But he refused to eat, and Amnon said, Have all the men out for me. And they went out, every man from him. And Amnon said to Tamar, Bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them in unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, Come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, No, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for you, you shall be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray you, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from you. Howbeit he would not hearken to her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, Arise and be gone. And she said to him, There is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken to her. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, Put now this woman out from me, and bolt the door after her. And she had a garment of divers collars upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins apparelled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of divers collars that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went out crying. And Absalom her brother said to her, Has Amnon thy brother been with you? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. But when David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. And Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. And it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shearers in Baal Hazor, which is beside Ephraim, and Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, Behold now, thy servant has sheep shearers. Let the king, I beseech thee, and thy servants go with thy servant. And the king said to Absalom, Nay, my son, let us not all go, lest we be chargeable to you. And he pressed him, howbeit he would not go, but blessed him. And then said Absalom, If not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said to him, Why should he go with you? But Absalom pressed him that he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, Mark ye how when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, Smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man got him up upon his mule and fled. And it came to pass while they were in the way that tidings came to David, saying, Absalom has slain all the king's sons, and there is not one of them left. Then the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. And Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, answered and said, Let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead. For by the appointment of Absalom, this has been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. Now therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart, to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead. But Absalom fled, and the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said unto the king, Behold, the king's sons come. As thy servant said, so is it. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came, and lift up their voice and wept, and the king also, and all his servants wept very sore. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, king of Geshur, and David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur, and was there 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Let's see what he's saying. We know that this is not some historical writing that is only for a historical purpose. It's something spiritual that we should be able to take into our lives, things that happen to us, and see the parallels in this writing to teach us how to act or not react. Okay? So in the first verse, it's this came to pass after this. Everything has happened prior to here and in the last chapter, and they all returned to Jerusalem, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, or literally a beautiful sister, whose name was Tamar. What does Tamar mean? Tamar means a palm tree or victory. Let me say it again about Absalom. We missed over Absalom. Absalom's name means father of peace, or my father is peace. And he had a fair sister, or a beautiful sister, whose name was Tamar, which was the palm tree or speaks of victory. Okay? And Amnon, which means faithful or true, the son of David loved her. And Amnon was so vexed, or literally he was so distressed, that he fell sick or on account of this for his sister, on account of his sister Tamar, because she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it very difficult for him to do anything to her. Now, I know when I was reading that, if you can put all these things together, it's pretty complicated. But do you know who she really was? It was his sister. And also, Absalom. Why was Absalom so hung out on this one sister? Not Amnon, the one who fell in love with her, but why was Absalom so hung up on her? Because he was her father. They don't tell you that in there. Go look through the books and you'll find out whose father is who and who and who. And, you know, because they're family, and in the writings of the Jewish and Hebrew, Jewish and the Greek writings in the Bible, they use this word, like a brother or a son or a daughter. It could be anybody in the family of that context. It could be a cousin, an in-law. They call them all family members. Right. It's the same thing. They use this. But actually, it turns out that Absalom was her father. What father would not have taken offense to his daughter being raped? Huh? You see what I mean? That's one of the reasons why he's so incensed about what happened. Okay? Not that brothers wouldn't be incensed about their sisters being raped either, but that's just one thing. But Amnon had a friend. Now, Amnon is again what? The faithful. Now, if you look at Amnon's life in this chapter, do you see anything faithful in it? Not on the positive side. Not on the positive side, but on the negative, he's very faithful. He's doing the negative side, okay? And you know, everything is a positive and a negative. Sure. Sure. The negative side. Okay. And Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. And Jonadab means Yahweh is willing, or God is willing. See, God's willing for some of these things to come to pass. For what purpose? His purpose. See, we can see all kinds of negative things. Why would God let this happen? And people say, oh, God wouldn't let that happen. Oh, he wouldn't? You just don't understand why God would do such a thing. See, again, like we talked about earlier this morning, when you understand that all things is in the power of God, you can come to peace with situations. I don't have to worry about wars breaking out, someone dying. Sure, I miss the people. That's not the point. The point is, God's in control, and me losing control of my emotions and going ballistic somewhere, going off, getting crazy, does not change anything, does it? Doesn't help me a bit. But realizing that God's in control, why do I lose my control and my blood pressure goes sky high, I have a heart attack or a stroke? Why? You know, I don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. Sure you do. You need those situations. And those situations and that wind is the Holy Spirit doing things in our life to different people, permitting things to happen. Like he said in Acts, let her drive. You ain't going to stop it anyway. The wind's going to get what it wants. Okay? But this Jonadab, it says, is willing. The son of Shimeah. Shimeah speaks of fame or pride. David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle or a very cunning man. Means he was kind of deceptive, maybe. Okay? And, you know, do we think that Jonadab, this cunning man, was really somebody else? Who's the Jonadab to me? It's myself. It's my own thinking process. And isn't our own thinking processes, aren't those the most deceptive things there are? The Bible does not talk about being deceived from an external source. It talks about being deceived from the internal source, which is myself. That's what I have to be concerned with, not with what somebody does out here. See, I can't deceive you. You can deceive you, not me. It comes from within, absolutely. Okay? And he has this idea in verse 40. He said to him, why are you being the king's son, lean or depressed from day to day? Literally talking about being depressed. Will you not tell me? And Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister, which is also his daughter. And Jonadab said to him, lay you down on the bed and make yourself sick. And when your father comes to see you, say unto him, I pray you, let my sister Tamar come and give me food and make the food in my sight that I may see it and eat it of her hand. Now, sounds kind of deceptive here, doesn't it? So where does the deception come from? From within, the Jonadab in me, or maybe a cherubim. We can see it another way, the cherubim doing those things. But see, we take thought. When you take counsel of this thing in here, instead of taking counsel of God's word, what are you going to buy? You're going to accept some things and do some things and say, well, that makes sense. In your natural reasoning, you can start to justify things that's not really true. But if you go to God's word, it'll point out very clearly that was not God's word. In verse 6 he says, so Amnon lay down, made himself sick, and when the king was come to him, Amnon said to the king, I pray you, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple or make me two cakes in my sight that I may eat from her hand. And David sent to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and make him some food. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour or dough and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. And she took the pan and poured them out before him, and he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have out all the men from me. And they went out for every man from him. Now, you know what? Shouldn't that send a flag up? You go to his house to fix his meal, and he says, get everybody out of here. I want to be alone. I think she should have been thinking. Think, you know, use your mind. God give you one. And Amnon said to Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber. Now, this wasn't the parlor. It was the bedroom. If you look at the language, it says bedroom. So he said, come on in here in the bedroom and bring your food in there. Hello, red flag. There should have been a red flag up right there saying something's going on. Everybody else is put out, and now I'm alone in this position. You know that women, I think most women have this idea or this understanding, you can sense when someone's got a hot for you. I mean, you're not stupid, you know. And she saw this position, I'm sure, but didn't do anything about it. He said, bring the meat into the bedchamber that I may eat of your hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the bedroom to Amnon, her brother. And when she brought them in to him to eat, he seized her. Not took, oh, he seized her. And said to her, come have sex with me, my sister. He didn't say lay with me. He said, come have sex with me. That's what the language says. And she answered him and said, no, my brother, do not force me or humiliate me. The word force there should be humiliate. Don't humiliate me, because no such thing is done in Israel. Do not this disgraceful thing. Now, when she said no, what would we say that word would do? What was that word? Her speaking to him, what did she do? She rejected him. Yeah. What does that do to pride? Makes it angry. Okay? And you remember the guy up here that we were just reading about in verse 3, the Shimeah? You know what his name meant, remember? Fame or pride? See, they're all in the family. You know the movie like on TV, that show, All in the Family? It's all in the family. Everybody's family. Got all this stuff. So all this pride was in there, and pride gets rejected. It gets obnoxious. Is that a good word? They become rude, obnoxious, hard, bitter, angry. All these things come out. And he said, don't do this disgraceful thing. As for me, where shall I cause my shame or disgrace to go? He said, if I do this, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? She said, where's my disgrace going to go? You know, a woman in that era, today it's no big thing for women to be pregnant out of wedlock. I mean, everybody just accept that. That's cool. It's no problems, basically, don't they? But a woman in that day was considered garbage if she got pregnant outside of wedlock. Where's her disgrace going to go? Even if she's the king's daughter, it makes no difference. She's disgraced. And she says, and as for you, you shall be as one of the fools in Israel. Do you know what the word fool is here? You remember somebody by the name of Nabal? That word right there is Nabal. Speaking of the fool, but that's what his name meant. Now therefore I pray you, speak now to the king, because he will not withhold me from you. Tell me what God will withhold from you if you truly desire it for the right reason. Nothing. He said, no good thing will he withhold from you. Right? Let me ask you a question. What does Amnon's name mean? Okay, in his name, meaning faithful, do you think his name suited him? Think about it now before you answer. His name means faithful. Do you think his name suited him? I want to go to a different area in this. What do you think about this? To the negative side, yes. But even on the positive side, did it suit him? I want to show you something. Just want you to think about something. And the answer would obviously be no. Now, so what's the problem? God didn't make a mistake when he named him. Let's look at something else. He did not know what? Who he was. He did not have his identity yet, did he? He was in a mistaken identity crisis, wasn't he? He thought he was that natural person. He forgot that he was a son of God, didn't he? True or false? He was the son of the king, see? Even though he was doing the wrong thing. See, his identity was not right. You see what I'm saying? He was in a case, it was a case of, really, it was a mistaken identity. He said, howbeit he would not hearken to her voice, or shama. He would not hearken with the intent to respond to that voice. He had his own way made up. It's his way, not God's way. But being stronger than her, he forced or he humiliated her or defiled her and had sex with her. That's what the language says. He defiled her by having sex with her. And then Amnon hated her greatly because he hated her. The hatred that wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. Now, let's look at something here. Did he love her? No. He had a sexual desire for her. He was lusting after her. That's not love. Sex and love is two different words. See? Lust and love is not the same thing, is it? Loving someone is not defiling someone or humiliating someone, is it? Forcing them beyond their capacity where they want to be. So the words here doesn't do it justice. He hated her greater than his desire was to have sex with her. So as soon as that was over, had he loved her, he would have never felt this way. He would have never done it to start with. He would not have forced it. Yes. Yes, absolutely. It was a custom. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He could have had her. He was only lusting. He didn't want to marry her. He just wanted to sleep with her. Yes. Then everything was fine. Everything was fine. Right. Yeah. Right. So if we go about the right way, and take this to an internal thing with the soul and the spirit. If we do things the way that it's supposed to be, God will give us the desires of our heart, won't he? But he didn't want that. See, he just wanted what he wanted, and that was the end of it. So very selfish, self-centered thinking. Would you agree? At his terms. Wait. Nope. And Amnon said to her, arise, be gone. Go away. He didn't want her. He cast her out. And she said to him, there's no cause for this. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that you did to me. But he would not hearken to her again, Shammah. He would not hearken with the intent to respond to what she was saying. And then he called his servant that ministered him and said to put this woman outside from me and lock the door behind her. And she had a garment of what? Well, that's not true. You know, Joseph had the coat of many colors, and that ain't true either. Let's just get to the base of it right here and get it out of the way. This word does not say anything about colors. The language here says she had a tunic reaching to her hands and to her feet. Okay? A tunic was just a white linen cloth that they wore, just a cloth, white cloth, that went all the way to their feet, and so she was covered from her hands to her feet, or up to her neck. So what would you think that would be saying? She was a virgin, she was a chaste virgin, and she was undefiled. Now, that's what she had on. She was a king. It said all the king's daughters are robed in this. What would that tell me, that all the king's daughters were dressed this way? Tell me what it means. Huh? Hello? All of us have the righteousness of Christ on us. See, our soul is covered by the righteousness of Christ. This is not an external thing. It's an internal thing. An external will show you the internal. So everyone's covered. Every soul is covered by the righteousness of Christ. Because with such tunics or outer garments were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. Then his servant led her outside and locked the door behind her. Now, she was set up. That don't sound like a very good situation. I could almost begin to see part of the situation of the Song of Solomon. when she was outside and she had to reach her hand back through the door to unlock it so she could come back in. The outside view. I could see part of that in there. And Tamar put ashes on her head, rent her garments, or literally the what? The tunic, not many collars. She put this tunic on, that tunic she had on. She rent the covering that she had on her because she felt she was defiled. Well, you know what that takes me back to? The Garden of Eden. When Eve felt she had done something wrong. When Adam and Eve did it, see? She rent her garment, her righteousness. See, did Adam and Eve, didn't they take off their righteousness, their Shekinah glory that they were clothed in, the righteousness of God, when they eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? See, I see that going right back to the beginning. Oh, and she went back and chose the beastly covering here herself rather than listening to what God said, even though she was defiled. Okay? And Absalom, her brother, also her dad, said to her, okay, go ahead. And Absalom, her brother, said to her, have Amnon, thy brother, been with you? The obvious answer was, she told him. She said, yeah. He said, but now hold your peace or be silent for now, my sister. He is your brother. Do not set your mind on this thing or your heart. Don't set your mind on this thing. What's he saying? Don't be consumed with what just happened to you. Come beyond this defilement. Just like Adam and Eve, she set her mind upon what they did wrong. And because of that, the result is, well, let's look around the world today. Don't set your heart upon it. Look beyond this thing. Don't let your mind be consumed with your personal situations you get in. Who's in control of all of it? Take your eyes off of this stuff and put them upon Christ. Okay? Don't let these personal situations get you bound up. And that's what happened to Eve, wasn't it? Okay? Oh, yeah, every one of them is. So Tamar remained devastated in her brother Absalom's house. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. And Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, because Absalom hated Amnon because he had humiliated his sister and his daughter Tamar. Now, what do you think's in here? I see from verse 20 on, when Absalom found out what Amnon did, something began to work in him. What was the word? Revenge. Exactly right. He set this thing up. All this from this point on, he sets up the chance to get the revenge. And the book says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I'll repay. Right? And, well, the word vengeance there literally is help me with the word, but just vindicate. I will vindicate. What does vindicate mean? Okay, if you go to court and you've been charged with some crime and the judge or the jury vindicates you, what'd they just do? They found you not guilty and set you free. So it's God's place to vindicate us, right? We can't vindicate ourselves, okay? So, he was very angry, David was, Absalom began this revenge. And when you get a vengeance in your heart, it's going to bring something out. What did it end up in? Murder. Remember what happened with Cain and Abel? There was a jealousy and a bitterness and a revenge in there because he was upset by the other one and brought it bring about. Murder, same thing. And it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shears in Baal Hazor. What would that mean? Baal Hazor, which is beside Ephraim. Baal Hazor means lord of the village. And Ephraim means double fruit or double ash heap, positive or negative. And I see something very negative coming about in this. Baal Hazor means lord of the village. And Ephraim speaks of double fruit or double ash heap, positive or negative there. And Absalom invited all the king's sons. I see all this as being in a negative context because there's a revenge lying underneath here. It's all being set up. This vengeance is being set up so he can revenge what was done. And Absalom came to the king and said, "Behold, now thy servant has sheep shearers. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant." And the king said to Absalom, "No, my son, let us not all go with you, lest we be chargeable to you." What's that mean? Be chargeable to you. A burden. You'll become a burden. We'll be a burden to you. You can't take care of all of us. And he pressed him, howbeit he would not go, but blessed him. And Absalom then said to Absalom, "If not, I pray you, let my brother Amnon go with us." And the king said to him, "Why should he go with you?" But Absalom pressed him that he let Amnon and all the king's son go with him. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, "You observe now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine. And when I say to you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, have not I commanded you? Be strong and a son of strength." Where it says valiant, it should be a son of strength. Be strong and a son of strength. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's son arose, and every man got up upon his mule and fled. And it came to pass while they were in the way that tidings came to David, saying, "Absalom has slain all the king's son, and there is not one of them left." I have to say something back to verse 29. It said, when this happened, when Amnon was killed, all the king's sons arose, and every man got on his mule and fled. It sounds like a crucifixion to me. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Right? But look what they did. How did they leave? They left on the beast nature. Fear will take you into that beastly nature. It'll run back to the beast every time. You get scared, tell me what nature you're working in. Fear is a beastly nature. It's not a godly nature. God has no fear. So when that fear comes upon us, we know it's the beast. Is it real? I just said something, someone yesterday said something about crossing the bridge and being upset, and I said, "You got to shut that thing up. Tell it to shut up." Person said, "Every time they go across the bridge, they get nervous. It never was like that before." I said, "Well, then where did it come from? You think God is making this person nervous?" See? You got to tell it to shut up, don't you? You got to take control of your mind and say no. Where am I at here now? Left off. 29:30. But they got on a mule and they left in 29. And when it came to pass, and the tidings came to David saying, "Absalom has slain all the king's son, and there's not one of them left." And the king rose and tore his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. You think he jumped to conclusions? He heard the rumors? You think you should react immediately to everything that goes on? Doesn't the book say be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to react? And David reacted very, very quickly, almost immediately. Huh. Sounds like maybe slowing down is a good idea. Huh? Slow down. Don't make these snap decisions, especially when your emotions are involved. And David's emotions were involved because it was all of his sons. Do you realize in their culture that their whole wealth of everything lie on the generations coming behind them, what they could hand to them? Yeah. And his whole generations was going to be wiped out in his mind. They were gone. He had no heritage. Do you know what that done to a king? You know what? It's what's happening to all of us. But see, if we realize, Jesus said, "My disciples are not of this world." It's not our natural heritage we're talking about. David was concerned of a natural heritage rather than his true identity, which was in God. And if we forget about the natural, don't worry about that. Don't react to those things. Someone died. Hey, hello, everybody gets to die. Isn't that right? The book says it's appointed a man once to die. Okay? Everybody has to die. So what difference does it make what method they die? They're going to die. I'm going to die. These little babies, everybody going to die in the face of the earth. What's that got to do with anything? That's the process. We cannot stop it. Why do we let our emotions take us plumb out of the ball game because someone dies? Hate it, but I can't change it, and your pain and suffering will not change it. You beating yourself with a strap and getting all these emotions, will it help you? Won't change a thing, will it? What's old Larry the Cable Guy say? Let's get her done. Let's just do what we got to do. Get her done. See, just go on and do what you got to do. Your emotions should not take you off your course. Did Jesus have a problem with getting his course done? He didn't like it, but he did it, didn't he? He did what he had to do. We got to do the same thing. If you want to walk to the place he walked, you got to walk, follow the same footprints. If you're going to sit on the throne, you got to walk the course that he walked. We can't get out of this thing. We can't act something different than the Christ and say, I'm the Christ. You know, a dog don't run around saying, meow. Cats don't run around, woof, 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 like a dog. You got to be what you are. And if you really believe you're a son of God, what will you act like? Okay. See, don't tell somebody they're a bad person. Tell them you're a son of God with a mistaken identity. And that's what they really are. They're sons of God with an identity crisis. They don't know who they are. Tell them they're bad will do nothing but condemn them. Didn't Linda say today how great it was to come out of condemnation? See? There's no condemnation in God, is there? See? Somebody's telling people the wrong things. They're looking at the natural thing, just like David did here. So anyway, he had his clothes rent, and he was laying on the floor, and Jonadab, whose name means God is willing, the son of Shimei from pride, David's brother, answered or responded to him and said, let not the Lord purpose that they have slain all the young men of the king's son, because Amnon, the faithful one, is only dead. Because by the appointment or by the mouth, the word appointment should be mouth, by the mouth of Absalom, this has been determined from the day that he humiliated his sister Tamar. Now, do you think these people didn't know this was going to be done? What did Jonadab tell him? From the very day that Amnon raped his sister, this has already been set in motion. He already had it planned. Why didn't he tell his king? Would you think that? See, we go thinking for everybody else. We go thinking for everybody else. Do you ever hear this? Oh, don't tell them about that. They can't handle that. Do you ever hear anybody say that? If they're a king's child, guess what they can handle? All things. See, that's what I hate about religion. Because when I was in the church realm, I got this all the time. Shh, don't tell nobody. Don't tell them that. They can't handle that. Don't tell them that, you know. Good Lord, don't tell me them good things. We'll talk about that in the back room, see? We'll talk about that later. Don't say it out loud. Well, I think he said what you heard in the back room shouted on the rooftop. Okay? I'm not going to hide anything. If God speaks it to me and he tells me to be quiet, I will. And he has, and I have been at times. But when he don't tell me to shut up, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shout it from the rooftop. I'm going to let everybody know, because if the truth that God gives me sets me free, what in God's name is it going to do for somebody else? Same thing. I want everybody to be free, but I know it's only going to happen in his timing, but that's why I can't hold it back. Who am I to think that what I understand in my thinking is a better reasoning for you than what God's got planned for you? Who am I to think something like that? And that's what religion does. They think they know the best for you. I think your Father knows best. Doesn't he? See, I can't do what he wants me to do and what I want to do at the same time. My thinking's got to get moved aside. Okay, but he told him that only Amnon is dead. Okay? Now therefore, let not the king take this, and the word thing is debar. Don't take this word to your heart to think that all the king's sons are dead, because Amnon only is dead. But Absalom fled. He told him the truth. Only one was dead. And Absalom fled, and the young men that kept watch lift up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said to the king, behold, the king's sons come. As thy servant said, so is it. And it came to pass, as soon as he made an end of the speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lift up their voices and wept, and the king also and all his servants wept very sorely. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, the king of Geshur. I'm going to stop right there for a second. What is he saying? Absalom fled. He went to a place that's called furrowed and ridged, kind of like been plowed, you know, been torn up. And Ammihud is a people of splendor or grandeur. So he went to the prideful side, hiding out, away from God, from the king, to the king of what? Geshur. And that's a proud people. Now, the next part of this verse says what? And David mourned for his son every day? Not true. Look at the word David. It's italicized. What's that mean? We're not even talking about David here. We're talking about who? We're talking about Absalom. King James put the word David in there, and guess what changed the whole subject? Took you plumb off the course of what's saying. Now look what he says. And mourned, he went there, and he mourned for his what? The word son should be kindred. He went to this other place, but he was missing his kindred. And you know what? We all do the same thing. We have all went to the place of pride. We've all went to the place of the desert. We've all went to the way of carnality. And in our hearts, we know there's a better place. Don't we? We know we have a family. We have a God. We have a father. And we have brothers and sisters that we're separated from. Why? Pride keeps you away from your family. That's all it is. And see, we've got a family of God we're talking about, not the natural thing. We're talking about the family of God. But everybody has been separated. When Adam was separated in the garden and put out of the garden, don't you know there was the family being separated. And we've listened to what Adam has told us in our head all that time. That someday we'll be like God if we're good enough. The only reason God's my father is because he is my father. That made me like him. And no matter what anybody tells you in your mind or what your mind tells you, you're still God's son. Psalm 82 verse 6 says, you are all children or sons of the Most High God. John 10:34 says the same thing. Okay? There's your two witnesses. That's enough, isn't it? You're all children of the Most High God. So if anybody says you're not a child of God, you know automatically they're lying to you. So why should you believe anything else that person says to you? Why should you believe it? If they lied once, what will they do? They'll lie again and again and again and again. I don't need to hear the lies. I don't want to hear them. Okay? And that's what happened here. They just turned it around and pointed to David. It had nothing to do with David here. It was talking about Absalom and him missing his kindred. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur. And what is Geshur? It's a proud people. He went there anyway. And he was there for 3 years. Oh, imagine. Not five or six, but three. Why was he there 3 years? It took that long for him to grow up, didn't it? It took three realms for him to get through. When he got into that third year, guess what? Tabernacles. Just coincidence, right? And the soul of King David, the words "and the soul of" aren't even there. It should say literally, King David longed to go to Absalom because he was comforted concerning Amnon because he was dead. Now, he was comforted. What he's saying, David longed to go to Absalom, his son, because he had already been comforted concerning Amnon's death. Nothing I could do. This son is gone. Guess what I got? I got to take what I got with me and enjoy what I got while I got it. Right? Don't be wishing for something I could have had or I should have had or I did have but I haven't got anymore. be thankful for what you got and utilize what God's give you in your presence today. Does that make sense? This is what our focus should be on. Not the past, not the future, but the present, right now. And that's where David got his focus back to. And that's one of the things about David's life, if you always watch, David made all kinds of mistakes. Today. Right? So guess what you should do? Be living in the present in all things. Stop living in the past and enjoy what God has given you. I can't find a much better message than that, can you? God loves you and I do too. How much better can it get? I want for nothing in my life. I have desires, little things, but you know, they don't mean anything.